Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
We are an inclusive faith community
seeking to live out the loving, just, and generous way of Jesus.
We are participants in a long tradition
that's less concerned with doctrines and dogma that demand total agreement,
but a life to be lived, enjoyed, and given away to others.
What unites us is a growing awareness that life is precious,
that we are made by love in order to love.
This community is comprised of and affirms the entire human family,
regardless of race, age, creed,
physical abilities, marital or economic status,
gender identity, or sexual orientation.
So, if you are curious and have come to see,
if you are tired and have come to rest,
if you are grateful and have come to share,
if you are wounded and have come to heal,
if you are joyful and have come to celebrate,
if you are uprooted and have come to belong,
welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Last week, Tirza laid out some of the key atonement theories used throughout church history to explain the idea of salvation. In the final analysis, we learned that most of the theories focus solely on the cross rather than the whole of Jesus' ministry. And they also seem more concerned with changing something in God, appeasing God's wrath, or restoring God's honor or justice, than with changing humanity. These dominant atonement theories, like penal substitutionary atonement, also ignore the salvation themes or motifs in the four Gospels. Today, I want to focus on one of these salvation themes, the one that saturates the Gospel stories most heavily, the idea of salvation as healing. Healing, according to the Gospel writers, is a key part of Jesus' ministry. Salvation and healing are so connected, in fact, that the Greek word to heal, sozo, also means to save. There are almost 25 distinct healing episodes across Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the authors are careful to tie these miracles to the message that Jesus is preaching, the message of the kingdom or reign of God. However, a lot of people reading the Gospels misinterpret the purpose of the healing stories in the Gospels. They think that the healings are setting up a model of what we should ask Jesus to do for us. Jesus healed a paralyzed man? That means Jesus can heal you if you have enough faith. This is the message that the health and wealth gospel teaches, and so-called faith healers like Benny Hinn exploit. That people with enough faith in Jesus will end up with money and health. In other words, salvation results in individual blessing and healing. The dangerous flip side to that message is if you do struggle financially or have a disability or an ailment, then you are lacking in faith. When I was researching for this sermon, I found a website that listed each of the healing miracles reported in the Gospels. And then it detailed how we might use each one as a template for how we can ask for faith-based healing miracles. The website was eerily formulaic, and I imagine it has caused a lot of anguish for people who have asked for healing in this way and have not received it. So let me be clear on this. The idea that salvation equates to achieving individual health or comfortable wealth is not the message laid out in the Gospels. It is, in fact, a corruption of the gospel, and it blinds people to the true good news of Jesus. So how have large portions of the American church gotten the message of the Gospels so wrong? How have we made salvation about personal faith and health and wealth instead of about healing for the world? Well, the short answer is individualism. We live in a society that centers the individual, a culture completely opposite to the collectivist culture of the biblical world, which centers the community or tribe. That means that when we read the stories in the Bible, we fill in the narrative gaps with details that fit our worldview, not the views of the first readers. That can lead us astray in many ways. One huge way we have led ourselves astray has to do with the purpose of the healing stories in the Gospels. I believe that if we can reorient our thinking about this piece of the Gospel, then it will give us a better view of the big picture and help us understand salvation and the gospel better. So, the first step in reorienting our thinking involves asking this question. If the healing stories in the gospels aren't about encouraging people to have faith to gain individual healing or salvation, then what are they about? What is the purpose of Jesus healing people according to the gospel narratives? Before we jump into the healing stories, I have a note about interpretation. When we analyze the gospels today, we are going to focus on the literary purpose of the healing stories in the gospels. What are the authors trying to convey in their use of these stories? The question, did Jesus perform all these miracles, and if so, why, cannot be answered with certainty. That is because the Gospels are the main source we have for the life of Jesus. And that keeps us at least one step removed from what we scholars call the historical Jesus. Anything we know about Jesus' teachings and ministry is filtered through the story worlds created by the Gospel writers. Now, I will say, I have confidence that the gospel writers communicated the character of Jesus and the purpose of his ministry well. They just didn't do it with the same sensibility that modern historians do today. Chronology, exact dating and geography, even recording accurate details of events or speeches were not the main priority for ancient biographers and historians. They felt the freedom to craft their stories and rearrange events in order to better communicate the gist of Jesus' life to their audiences. We need to respect that the genre of their writing may not meet our high standards for historicity. However, I am confident we can still trust them to communicate truths about Jesus and his message. With that said, I have combed through the distinct yet often interconnected stories of Jesus' healing miracles and have concluded that there are three main purposes that these stories serve in the gospel narratives. Number one, the healing stories establish Jesus' power, authority, and character. Number two, the healing stories give people a glimpse of the nature of God's reign, the kingdom come on earth. And three, the healing stories draw attention to the plight of those who suffer the most in society. So number one, healing miracles demonstrate Jesus' power and character. Jesus' healing ministry is central to the early portion of Mark. After his baptism and temptation in the wilderness in chapter 1, Jesus performs a rapid succession of healing miracles, freeing a man from an unclean spirit, restoring Simon's mother-in-law to full health, along with many others, cleansing a leper, and healing a man who was paralyzed. Each of these demonstrate that Jesus has power, some would say divine power, over the forces of evil and decay in our world. Jesus expelling malevolent spirits establishes his power over the forces of evil. His healing a leper shows that he can purify what is considered unclean. And his restoring health to people with illness and disability reveals that the forces that weaken or debilitate us are no match for Jesus, the miracle-working Messiah. It was a popular idea among first century Jews that when God intervened in history, inaugurating what they called the age to come, people would be healed. As it says in Isaiah 35, 5 through 6, Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. The miraculous healings in the Gospels ratify Jesus' power and confirm his identity as the one sent from God who has come to heal his people. As much as the healing stories show Jesus' power and identity as the presence of God in the midst of the people, they also paint a picture of Jesus' character. Jesus doesn't just heal people for show. He has compassion on the suffering people he encounters. When Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law from a fever, it is a private miracle meant to bring compassionate relief to a woman who was not visible or considered important in society. In Luke 7, when Jesus unexpectedly raises a widow's son from the dead, the gospel writer tells us that Jesus saw the woman trudging hopelessly in the funeral procession, and he, quote, had compassion on her. When Jesus realizes that this woman who has no husband and no son now is about to be destitute in her patriarchal society, he shows her the ultimate mercy and gives her son back his life. In that particular story, we learn not only that Jesus has power over the forces of death, but that he will use his power to care for those vulnerable and hurting people who need it the most. The second purpose of the healing stories, to give us a glimpse of the nature of God's reign. If someone were to ask you what the main idea Jesus preached in his gospel message was, what would you say? Think about it. Would it be that we are sinners and Jesus came to earth solely to die for our sins? That's one atonement theory, but it's not the good news according to Jesus. Would it be that salvation could be ours if only we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead? That's a line from one of Paul's letters, but those words are never attributed to Jesus. The main idea of Jesus' gospel is actually much simpler, yet much bigger than that. Jesus' main message can be found in a phrase he utters throughout the Gospels, but is first recorded in Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. When Jesus preached that the kingdom of God had come near, it was an announcement that the long wait was over, that God had come to rescue God's people, and that the reign or the rule of God would finally be a tangible reality. Part of the good news of the reign of God is that when God's presence and power broke into history, the healing of creation could begin. In the old age, or what first century Jews called this present age, people lived under the reign of death, evil, and decay. All of creation was characterized by brokenness, broken relationships, broken motivations, and broken spirits. In the age to come, or the new age, God would intervene in history, and when people placed themselves under the reign or rule of God, creation would begin the process of healing, relationships restored, communities made whole, and spirits renewed. That's what Jesus' life and ministry witnessed to, that when the presence of God in Jesus moves among them, then people who have been captive to all sorts of powers can experience healing through the spirit that Jesus wields. The healing ministry described in the Gospels shows us glimpses of the wholeness that creation would one day achieve when God's kingdom would come fully, when God's reign or rule on the earth is completely realized. The Gospels don't tell us that Jesus healed every single person in the world or even in Israel. They give us examples of what wholeness and healing could look like on a small scale, so that we might envision what wholeness and healing would look like, large scale. The final purpose that the healing stories serve is one that we 21st century people might need a bit of help recognizing. In ancient Jewish and Greco-Roman societies, people who had illnesses or disabilities were, at best, completely ignored, or at worst, purposefully pushed to the margins of society and reviled for their so-called weakness. Scholars have very little information on the lives of ancient people living with disability because their stories were just not told. They were not valued, and their needs and their voices were silenced. And yet, the Gospels showcase dozens of stories of people on the margins who suffered and were despised for it. They tell these stories because they want to draw attention to the plight of people whose disabilities made them pariahs in the society in which they lived. There is a discipline of scholarship called disability studies, and it reconsiders religious texts and practices and doctrines from the perspective of disability. It gives us great insight into the repercussions and the ongoing impact of the healing stories in the Gospels. The main concerns of disability studies are to understand God and Scripture more fully through the perspective of disability, and to work for the full inclusion and participation of people with disabilities in religious communities. A foundational concept in disability studies is the recognition that disability does not concern only the physical impairment of an individual, but includes the social and cultural factors that make life more difficult for people with disabilities. The vocabulary of disability studies helps demonstrate this shift in perspective. The word impairment is used to refer to a biological condition that inhibits full function in the body, such as the paralytic legs of the man in Mark 2 or the blind eyes of Bartimaeus in Mark 10. The word disability, on the other hand, is used to describe the social and structural impediments that people with impairments face. A disability, then, is not something in an individual's body, but something people experience because the world in which they move is made for people who are able-bodied. In other words, disability is political, social, and environmental rather than biological. Here's a simple example. I have really bad eyesight. When I don't have my contacts on, I cannot walk around safely. That is a pretty serious impairment. But I do not have a disability because our society has adapted to people with eyesight impairments. We have glasses and contacts and LASIK surgery. And most people have insurance that covers optometry. If I lived in first century Galilee, though, I would have a disability. If my family didn't take care of me, I could have ended up begging on the side of the road like so many others. When we focus on disability as a social phenomenon, then we can see more clearly how Jesus's healing stories were not meant mainly to address people's individual impairments, but to confront the cultural and societal forces that made impairments into disabilities. There are lots of instances of this in the Gospels, but I want to mention two as examples. In the story of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, a story that's told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this woman was desperate, not just because she had an impairment, but because her ailment made her ritually impure all the time. She suffered even more as a pariah in her community, and as someone who was restricted from participating fully in religious worship. She surreptitiously touches Jesus in the crowd and is healed. But that is not the climax of the story. The main point comes when Jesus stops and announces to the crowd that she is well and that her faith is an example to all. With Jesus' words, the woman is restored to her community and set up as a model of faith. Her body is healed, yes, but what is more important is that Jesus corrected the way her community had been treating her, moving her from the margins to the center. One more example. In Luke 17, Jesus encounters a woman who had been bent over for 18 years. In front of the whole synagogue, he heals her and announces, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." That's not the end of the story, though. The leader of the synagogue gets angry because Jesus cured on the Sabbath, which is something he does frequently. Then Jesus lays into all the religious leaders there. "You hypocrites," he says, "does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? Shouldn't then this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" Jesus' healing miracle is no longer the focus of the story. Instead, Jesus is calling out a religious system that values animals over the life of a woman with an impairment. This is what Jesus' whole ministry does. It draws our attention to the ways society devalues and disables hurting people. And then Jesus restores them to wholeness by addressing what really makes them disabled. Jesus' miracles show us how God will heal all of creation by healing the broken relationships and broken systems that cause suffering for people with illness and impairment. I hope by now it is clear that the healing stories in the Gospels do not teach a health and wealth gospel. Salvation, according to Jesus' ministry, is not about healing or blessing individuals who have enough faith. Instead, the healing stories demonstrate Jesus' authority and identity and character. They give us a taste of the end goal of the reign of God, wholeness and shalom. And they exemplify how living into God's perfect reality means healing the systems that create disability and cause suffering for those with illness and impairments. Jesus came into our earthly existence to initiate God's reign, to heal some of the people and communities he encountered, and to show us that salvation is about healing the whole world. Jesus doesn't stay on earth forever, though. So it is his followers who must continue his legacy until he returns. In this in-between time when God's reign has begun but is not yet completed, how can we participate in God's kingdom of wholeness, in the healing kind of salvation? Well, if Jesus' ministry was not primarily about fixing people's bodies, but more about healing the wounds in the world, the broken relationships, the segregation in communities, and the exploitation of the vulnerable, then that should be our ministry as well. We participate in God's healing work, not by holding tent revival healing services for people with illnesses and impairments, but by drawing them from the margins into the center of our communities. We participate in the salvation of the world by listening to the experiences of people with disability and by working to eradicate the blame and stigma that we have attached to mental and physical illness. We can follow in Jesus's footsteps by battling the religious and social systems that create disability and by offering the love of God to all who suffer under those systems. That is the kind of salvation that will not only heal people, but will heal the world.
If you would like to know more or get connected to Crosspoint, go to crosspoint.org. If you're in need of care or assistance, go to crosspoint.org/care. And welcome home.